Graham's testimony is just amazing, isn't it? This morning, I did kind of weigh up whether to just, you know, to have Graham's testimony and for me not to speak, but I've had this word on my heart for a number of weeks, and so I felt it was really important to bring it. I get a chance twice a year, so I thought I'd pick up on it, really go for it. There's a reason I played that song, Nothing's Gonna Hold Me Back. It's a Tim Hughes song, and that's Jesus Culture playing it, and I love the energy in that version. But then at the end, if the technology works, we'll just play that again, but with a video, and so you can see the words. And really, the Nothing's Gonna Hold Me Back, that's my testimony. You know, once I've got to grips with Jesus, that's my whole outlook. Nothing's going to hold me back. I really want to go forward with God. And the word I've got for you this morning, it is for me, but I've received it a few times now. I've been going over it, so I'm handing it on for you. It's a word about the riches that we have in Christ Jesus. And the thing that God really laid on my heart for this particular congregation of people, even though I know that people do listen on the podcast or whatever it's called, but particularly for people in this congregation, is for us to live in the riches that we have in Christ Jesus, and for us not to live as poor Christians in Christian poverty. And I'm not talking about material wealth, I'm talking about a spiritual wealth, a wealth that we have in Him. And so often the mark of our life can be that we're actually living in a kind of poverty. And I wanted us to really get a hold of the wealth that we have in Christ. And Paul prays for the Ephesian church. And I thought, this prayer is my prayer for Ormskirk Christian Fellowship, and anybody who's sitting here this morning, and for anybody who's listening on a podcast. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you might know the hope to which He's called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints. And in Colossians 1, Paul says, I have become its servant, the church's servant, by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles, that's us, the glorious riches of this mystery, because it's not actually a mystery anymore, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the message says, the kind of paraphrases Ephesians 3, verse 8, as this. And this is me. So here I am, preaching and writing about things that are way over my head, the inexhaustible riches and generosity of Christ. And I think, well, you know, how can you really do a sermon on that? How can you do that justice? You know, the riches that we have in Christ, the generosity of Christ, the amazing beauty that is Him. You know, we're not adherents to a religion. You know, there's so much more. And my prayer is that we live in the knowledge and understanding and expression of those riches. We've been given the most valuable gift. And we've been given what mankind longs for. Whether mankind knows it's longing for it or not, we have received already that gift. And we are the richest and most blessed in all creation. But then if you look in your life, do you feel the richest and most blessed in all creation? Do you feel you have what all of mankind is longing for, what all other religions are seeking and searching for, and what anybody is looking for in life? Do you feel you have it? Well, whether you feel you have it or not, if you are a Christian, then you do have it. because you have him. And yet we can live small lives, impoverished lives. And, you know, I'm speaking of myself. But what is this gift? Yeah, it's salvation. We've received the gift of salvation. But what do we understand by that? Now I've believed, I'll no longer go to hell, and I've got something better to look forward to. And for some people, that is it. That's pretty much the top and bottom of salvation. You know, I'm now saved, so I carry on. But I kind of know that God's there, and I know I've got something to look forward to. And kind of that's kind of it. But that's kind of the gospel in its kind of thinnest form. That's kind of like the wafer-thin gospel. Whereas what I want to try and open up a little bit, and it'll only be a little bit, to you, is the fullness of the gospel that we have. That's really a minimalist approach to salvation, and it doesn't even begin to express the enormity of this gift that we have. That gift, Christ in you, the hope of glory, the inexhaustible riches and generosity of Christ, an inheritance which is now and forever. It's Christ himself. And he is someone in whom God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell. So we've got the God of all creation who comes and fills Christ with himself. So they're completely united, completely at one. So everything that God is, Jesus is also. The fullness. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. God is love, isn't he? And all the fullness of that love lives in Christ. And I know our heads, you know, our heads can be saying yes. But you kind of, what does that mean? Now, when Scripture says that he gave his life for you and I so that we could be reconciled to God, it's talking about the action of the cross to take our guilt and shame and give us a ticket to heaven. So, when it says he gave his life, we just need to look at that. We need to unpack that a little bit. What does it mean when he gave his life? Well, yeah, he literally died. So he literally gave his life, didn't he? But it's so much more than that. And this is the key, really. That there was a divine exchange. And it's that divine exchange that I want us to kind of get a little bit of a grip of today. What that means. What went one way. What went another way. And what happened. And what that means. And where that can take you. And where that can lift you from where you are now to another place. Not necessarily physically, but in truth, in terms of how you see things. So Jesus did more than that, like I said. More than just died to give us a ticket to heaven and take our guilt and shame. I don't know if anybody's ever seen that program called Switched, which is like teenagers swap lives, basically. And they just do it for a week. But it's kind of like that, but not, because all analogies are rubbish. But there is a switch. He has switched. It's like he switched lives with us, really. He took on, motivated by his great love, he took on all the fallenness, disappointment, brokenness, sinfulness, pain, abuse, abandonment, betrayal, and said, I'll live that out to its ultimate conclusion. So basically, all the rubbish in the fallen world that affects you and I, that leads somewhere. Brokenness leads somewhere. Brokenness ultimately leads to death, doesn't it? You know, you get a broken heart, you don't live anymore. You live in your brokenness. When you're betrayed, you're disappointed, you're let down. You don't live anymore. It leads somewhere. It leads to lack of life. And the lack of life is death. it leads to death. All these things, if you have been abused or misused or badly treated, if you live in that, it leads to death. But he took all of that to its ultimate conclusion. He took that to its death. Because that's where we were going. Yeah, our brokenness would lead us to death. Our sinfulness would lead us to death. All these things would lead us to death. And he says, I love you so much, I don't want that to be your life. I love you so much, I don't want that to be it for you. Because that's what it would have been. That's where it would have led. But he loves us so much. He said, no, you can have my life. Because my life is going to be lived out to an ultimate conclusion, which is eternal. So I'm willing to do a swap. It's amazing, isn't it? And that is what I think is a divine exchange. It's a swap, a bit more than switched on the teenage program. So, and really, I could stop there because that's pretty much all I wanted to say, but I'll whiffle on for a bit longer. So we get to choose, really, as well, because he doesn't just say, well, I've done that, you know, and that's it now. So now you get the swap. You have to say, and I have to say, I'll have that swap, thanks. I'm up for it. And it's not a once and for all swap. It is, kind of, but it's not as well. There's a lot of that in the Bible, isn't there? There is and it's not. It says, I'll take your life if you give it to me. And I will have myself nailed to a cross. That's what Jesus said. I'll have myself nailed to a cross. It's not going to be nice. It's not going to be lovely. It's not going to be a beautiful thing. It's going to be gory. It's going to be lonely. It's going to be painful. And it's the worst thing that I'll ever do. But I will do it. And I will endure it because there's a joy to come. And that joy is knowing that you don't have to do it. You don't have to endure it. You don't have to endure a final death. You can have my life instead. And I know, we kind of know this, don't we? But the more I looked into it, I kind of thought, I kind of saw it in a different kind of a way. Because it says, doesn't it, in Hebrews 12, verse 2, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And the joy is this, we get to receive Jesus' life lived out to its ultimate conclusion. We get to become co-heirs with Christ. We receive the same inheritance he has. From when? From when we die. Because that's almost what some Gospels look like, you know, the hanging around bit till we die, and then yeah, it's great. I float. I don't know what you do. We don't float. But no, when do we get to become a co-heir with Christ? When do we get to receive Jesus's life? When do we get to live it out? Well, we get it from the minute we die. Not the minute our physical bodies die, but the minute we give our life over to him and say, when we first make that decision to have ourselves nailed to the cross, like he made that decision to have himself nailed to the cross, we have to say, I give myself to you. I nail my life to that cross with you. And Romans 8 verse 17 says, if we are children, we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. And just before Jesus went to the cross, he prayed long and hard, and he prayed for you, and he prayed for me, and he prayed for his disciples. And he prayed, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message," that's us, "that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me." I in them and you in me. Verse 26 says, "I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them." That I myself may be in them. So twice there in those verses he's saying he will be in us. He's not outside of us, looking at us, spookily. He's in us. Through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. So all that fullness that was in Christ, all the fullness of the Godhead, all the fullness of the deity is in Christ, and all of that Christ is in me. Can you see him? And the result of him living in us, because it has results, is a deep satisfaction and peace. And what the Hebrew scriptures call shalom. It's a wholeness, a fullness, joy, a deep happiness which is beyond fortunate external circumstances. You know, something good happens, yay, joy. Something bad happens, depression, joy, depression, joy, depression. Blessedness is like joy. It's just kind of means the same kind of thing. And a little bit of a revelation, it's okay for Christians to be happy. And I'm not saying people are not happy. But sometimes I think happiness gets a bad press. You know, sometimes people go, happiness, it's superficial. I have a deep joy, you know. And happiness can be superficial. Happiness can be superficial if it's dependent upon kind of what's going on, whether it's good or bad circumstances. But, you know, happiness, blessedness does mean happiness, but it means much more than that. Actually, Tom, I couldn't find that definition of it. What did you say it was? Do you know happiness? Blessedness, do you remember the blessed thing?
All blessedness.
There was a bit more, it was about happiness, but it's all right. We were having a chat about it earlier in the week. So there's like a kind of further definition of it, but yeah, so it's okay to be happy. It's okay to be joyful. And it's the presence of Jesus in our lives which brings this joy, really. And John 17, in part of his praying, it says, "I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them." So these are the things that we have. We have already received these things. We have already received the riches and the fullness of Christ himself, his person, his character, his joy is within us. But sometimes we need to appropriate it. We need to kind of act it out. I don't mean pretend it, that's different. But we do need to act it out. And the way we act it out is what we set our minds on. And it is no small thing to say it's what we set our minds on. It is no small thing, that is a massive, massive thing. It completely changes how you are. Part of Christ in us is being a partaker of the suffering for being a Christian. That's part of it as well. Part of the fullness part of taking on Christ's life is also taking on his suffering. There's two kinds of suffering. There's like almost like, well, depending on your theological standpoint, you can either, it's either random type of suffering or ordained type of suffering, depending on where you're coming from. I'll go back to that in a minute. Or there's just this, there's the suffering for being a Christian. And what he's talking about here is the suffering for being a Christian. So it's the suffering that comes about by giving up things so that you can share the gospel, by giving up, sacrificing things in your life so that you can serve Christ. So that's what that might lead to, suffering, and it's taking part in that. So we are called to suffer for the gospel just as Christ did, just as Paul did. And serving God always involves sacrifice, sacrifice of time, sacrifice of priorities. But we're united with him in his suffering. That's part of the deal. But being united with him in his suffering also unites us with him in his glory. That's where that goes. It goes somewhere. You know, it doesn't just stay in suffering, just as he didn't stay in suffering. It moves somewhere. It moves to glory. It moves to giving glory to God. It moves to us becoming more Christ-like, and it moves to others becoming more Christ-like. That's the glory of God, the reflection of the purity and beauty of his very character, that love. And that we move that way as well. And the results are transformation. And Paul suffered. In 2 Corinthians 6, it says he suffered all kinds of hardships, beatings, near-death experiences, deprivations, all for the sake of bringing the gospel to the world. And they weren't fun times. However, he says, we are sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich, having nothing, yet possessing everything. And it's those kind of like opposites. Because the rejoicing and the riches and the having everything and possessing everything is much deeper. It's not a superficial thing. The sorrow is superficial and it's, for now, it's temporal. But the joy is everlasting. The poverty, whether you are, you know, at the moment, you know, struggling financially, that's here and now. But being made rich in Christ happens now and forever. Having nothing, you could have nothing now, but yet you have everything because you have Christ. And that's what he's rejoicing in. And all of this leads to God's glory. And in the midst of pain and trouble, we can know Christ's riches. And that's the other kind of pain I meant, really. You know, we can suffer for sharing the gospel, but then there's things that just come along and are difficult, like Graham's accident and Graham losing his hearing. That wasn't suffering for sharing the gospel. That was suffering because there's suffering in the world. That was suffering because bad things happen. And it's knowing Christ's riches in the midst of pain and trouble. And in John 16, verse 33, John says, in this world you will have trouble. I mean, Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. He wants you to gain a divine perspective on troubles, a bigger frame of reference. You know, if you look at it as if it's just now, and that's it, it will overwhelm you. But that's where your thinking comes in. You have to envisage where it's all going. Where could it all lead? What's God interested in? He's interested in his glory. He's interested in you becoming more like him. And my perspective is that God doesn't send bad things on you to turn you into a good person. That is my particular perspective on things. Other people have a different perspective on it, but that's mine. I just think in a fallen world, bad things happen. You know, there's a fallenness, there's a brokenness, cancers come, children die, adults die, relationships break down, people have house fires, floods come, you know, all kinds of things happen. And they are troubles. But if we only see them in the light of the here and now, then they will overwhelm you. They will overcome you. But he says, you will have trouble. These things will happen. But I have overcome the world. I have overcome them. I am bigger than them. There is more to it than first meets the eye. Get hold of me in it. Get hold of me and call out to him. Use this for your glory. Use me for your glory in this. I haven't had cancer, but I know people who have, and I know people who have used it for God's glory. It's not a glorious thing, cancer. It's horrible. So I'm not advocating, you know, let's all ask for really bad things to happen to us to bring more glory about. But when bad things do happen, it's what you do with it that counts. How can we respond to troubles? For we will all face troubles. They can change our character. They can make us reflect the face of Jesus, but only if you take part in an exchange. Only if you swap it. I know sometimes God will heal you, and there becomes a complete swap there. You're healed. Sometimes people are not healed, but there can still be an exchange. You can still bring that to him and say, use it for your glory. And Graham's testimony is that. It testifies to that. God using something for his glory. I'm not saying God brought deafness upon Graham. God made the car spin off the road. God did that, you know. That would make God a bit weird. And not a God of love. He didn't. But you look at Graham and you go, can I see God's glory? Yes. In that life, I can see God's glory. Can I see the face of Jesus? Yes. And that's part of the now and forever. And Graham will take that into eternity with him, the glory, his glory. So, recognize who he is in you. In Mark chapter 4, it talks about the seed that was sown and then the plants that grow up. And the ones that are choked by the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things. And it said that leads to unfruitfulness. And things can come upon us. And the world brings baggage and stuff. But if we focus on those things, it leads to an unfruitful life. It chokes life out of you. It chokes life out of things. We need to focus on that he is our Lord of love. He is your pearl of greatest prize. He is within you. He can be trusted with your most treasured people. He will never leave you or forsake you. Focus on this Lord in you. Don't make anything else Lord. Don't make the bad things that have happened to you Lord and dictate to you, if there are bad things that have happened to you. And he's calling on us to relinquish and let go of those things which would choke the joy out of you, those things which would choke the life out of you, those things which would impoverish you. He wants us to enter into this exchange. He's calling us to relinquish the things we trust in, the things that we value above him. doesn't mean he's going to take it all away and never give you anything back. That's the complete opposite of what he's about. But what we think is sometimes we hold on to stuff thinking this is going to bring us life when it doesn't. If you live for yourself, the fruit of that will be self. But if you live for him, the fruit of it will be him. There's nothing in us, in and of ourselves, which can lead to kind of eternity. You know, we can only have that when we kind of step into him. That's what I mean by if you live for yourself, the fruit of it will be self. It stops somewhere. You know, it can't go on forever. Saw that puzzled expression on your face. That's why I said that. But if we live for him, the fruit of it is him. We're joined with him. We're joined with the glorious fruit of his character, his personhood, his love forever. So I just really feel that God wants us to exchange our poverty for his riches. And that's pretty much it, really. I'll just read some verses again. The verses I started with. Ephesians 1, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you might know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Colossians 1, I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And like I said at the beginning, my prayer is that we live in the knowledge and understanding and expression of those riches, that we take part in that divine exchange. And like in my mind's eye, I kind of had like a, I should have got one, but I didn't. Like a, almost like a big white flag, which says, you know, like, I surrender. I surrender my whole entire life to you. And I am willing to do this exchange, whether it's for the first time or whether it's just again, recognizing where that goes. That the fruit of that exchange is the life in, that you have in Christ. That you can have more life now. You can have that abundant life he talks about in John 10. I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. You can have abundant life even in the midst of sufferings. Even in the midst of sufferings, we can have abundant life. It's where you put your brain. It's whether I put it on the sufferings and say, that is the top and bottom, the beginning and the end, that's it. And he says, no, it's not. Turn to me, turn it around, bring it to me, call upon me to bring my glory out of this situation, to do something in you, to make you more like me, and you will take that with you into eternity. Because it says that anything that's not of him will be burnt up and destroyed. But all the good things, all the things which he's made, which are important and lasting, that now they get taken into eternity. They last. If something lasts, it lasts. It doesn't last for a bit, because it's not lasting then, is it? So, got this song, which kind of really, it's not really about the divine exchange, but it's a kind of, it's a response. And I've just been listening to this song over and over again because I just feel like this is my response. It might not be your response, but it's my response. And I felt, I just get so excited. And it sounds a bit like you too, and I quite like you too. And if you don't like you too, I'm sorry. Oh, no, it doesn't actually. No, that was the other one. Yeah, that was the Jesus Culture version. This one's a bit more sedate. But it's my response. It's my giving of myself in part in this exchange. So as this is playing, you know, watch it, look at the lyrics. Consider your own life. Consider if you want to do an exchange. Your poverty for his wealth. The end.